I'm ready. I'm ready to preach. All right. You ready for this? All right. The Big Ten. For a few of you that haven't been here, every week I'm preaching on the Ten Commandments. And so we're rolling along here. And I wanted to start by talking about rights. Okay. How many of you know that we have some basic human rights that everybody has, especially in this country, in a free country? You have the right to own things. Are you glad for that? That you have the right to own some things, that you have some things you can say are yours? There's actually this list that's out there as I was researching. There's a list of universal human rights that's widely accepted pretty much across the board. And one of those things is to own property. When they say property, it's not just land. Some of you might be like, well, I don't own any land. I have a right to do that. Well, I guess if you can go claim some land that's not been claimed, you do have the right to that. But otherwise, you got to buy it. But property includes things. It doesn't just include land. And you think about even kids. Your kids, technically, they own some things, right? I mean, if it's been bought for them and given to them as a gift, even if you, mom or dad, if you bought it, like, your kid actually owns that, right? I mean, you gave it to them. It doesn't matter who paid for it. It's been given to them, and it's technically theirs. Now, as their parents, you have some authority over their life, and you can take it away, right? But it's still actually theirs because it's been given to them. And how often do you see a kid when they get something, they're like, mine. Now, unfortunately, kids try to do that with things that are not theirs, right? Mine. Like, no, that is not yours. Put it back. Give it back. And siblings definitely do not abide by these laws, right? Siblings do not know personal property laws. They're like, no, mine. No, mine. Like, mom and dad's got to be like, no, that's Billy's. Give it back to him, you know? Or Billy gets in trouble for not sharing what is actually his. And he ought to have the right to say who gets to play with it. But I'm not going to get into all that. But I'm saying that there's property that people own, and the rest of the world can respect that, right? They respect that is yours. It's not mine. I understand that. And there's something about that whenever you can claim something as your own. Part of it, I think, is because people like power, right? So if you can say that this is mine, it means I have control. I have some power. But there's also a sense of satisfaction as you have possessions, as you possess things. And especially, you know, if you've worked and saved for something, whenever you get to possess it, it's like you treasure that, right? You're like, this is mine. I worked hard for this. I earned this. I have an example in my own home. For those of you that don't know, Marissa's been saving for a car for a long time. She's been saving money. And so in the meantime, listen, she's not the one that's been without a vehicle. She's been driving my truck, which she gets some pretty interesting compliments, you know, being a short girl driving a full-size, long bed, lifted truck. But she's been driving my truck, and, I tell her, like, basically treat it like your own, you know. I really don't feel bad for me. I've not been the one without a car. Christy has, because if I need one, I take hers. But I've told her kind of treat it as your own, so she puts this, like, sparkly air freshener thing in there. I mean, this thing's, like, bedazzled, right? You know, remember the bedazzler? That was okay, you know, my truck smelled good, it worked out good for me. But then I go to get my keys one day, and I've got this keychain, it's about that big, and it's got a bedazzled M on it. And I'm like, okay, well, those are mine, so maybe that's what that stands for. Maybe she got that for me, and it's M for mine, but instead it's got this M on it. So needless to say, she's driving my truck, but here's the thing, that truck is still mine, okay? Now, when I needed to use it, I did not say, honey, would it be okay if I used my truck today? I'd be like, girl, I need my truck. You're going to have to ride to school with a friend. Where's my keys? I wasn't probably that mean about it. But, you know, it was just like, hey, this is mine, and I need it, so you're going to have to find a ride. Now that she's bought this car that she saved cash for, she's not slave to the lender. Praise the Lord on that. She saved, worked hard. That thing is hers, okay? That car is hers. Her name is on the title. Thank you, Jesus. The sparkly air freshener is in her car, right? When I got my guys in there, we helped move a lady a while back, and a few of you guys helped. And I had some guys get in my truck, and I'm like, oh, I got that sparkly air freshener up there. And this is so embarrassing, you know. But so I had to tell them. Like, it's like you tell them before they notice. By the way, My daughter's been driving, and that is hers, you know. And but now it's in her car, and the sparkly keychain that I guess didn't stand for mine. It stood for Marissa. So that's on her keychain now, and that's great. But here's the thing. What's so great about that for her is now that is hers. I am not going to just go up to her one morning and say, "Hey, Marissa, I need your car. Where's the keys? You're going to have to ride with a friend today." I can't do that. That is hers. Now I would have to say, "Hey, honey, you know, would you mind if I use your car today? Like, do you think you could?" You know, I'd have to ask, because that's hers. That's her property. It's her right to own that. And the point is that we have a right to own things in this country. It's a basic right we've been given. And what's great is this is established in the Word of God, the right to have property. So going back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and 2 starts like this. It says, "Then God spoke all these words." Say, "God spoke." Okay, this is not reading it off of the tablet. That's not what we're doing here. God spoke all these words, and he said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery." Again, you've heard me say it over and over, but I want this drilled into our heads. The Ten Commandments are to bring us freedom. He has brought us, he brought the Egyptians out of a place of slavery. He's bringing us out of a place of slavery, okay? It's to teach us how to love him, how to love people. So the first four, again, shows us how to love him, and then he transitions the last six, show us how to love people, which, listen to this, it's going back. It's just an extension of loving him. Right? Loving people, by loving people, you are serving God. It goes back to an extension of loving him. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but you can show your love for God by the way that you love people. You can show that. Okay? So the eighth commandment is what we're on. I'm going to jump right to it. Verse 15 says this: "Do not steal." Let's say that together. Do not steal. Pretty easy, right? Can you guys handle that? Has anybody stolen anything from the church this morning? If you have, please put it back. Okay. So again, like the previous couple of commandments, when you look at it at face value, you're like, I have no problem with that. Like when I go to Walmart, I don't stick a Snickers in my pocket. That'd be stupid anyway. It'd be melted when I got to the car, and it'd get all over my hands. It'd get all over my car. But I don't steal. Like, I don't intentionally go around and taking things. I don't go over to Jason's house and, like, you know, he's not home, Christy distracts Sherry, and I'm going to ride off on his lawnmower, right? I don't steal things. I don't just go take things that are not mine. So for me to read this commandment, I think, I've got this. It's no big deal. I've got this under control. So I thought, you know what? I really like to study and make sure that I know what the Word of God actually means. You know, it's a good thing. If you don't do that, I highly encourage it. So I was like, I need to break this down in the Hebrew. So here we go. Are you ready for this? Because this could blow your mind. We got basically two words, because do not is one. Do not. The Hebrew word is lo. Say lo. Okay, that's L-O. Lo. This is what it means. No. Okay, no. This Hebrew word for steal, get ready for this one. It's ganav. Say ganav. Okay, it's spelled G-A-N-A-B, if you want to spell it out, but it's ganav. Listen to this, it means steal. Okay? So I'm reading this and I'm like, do not steal. I mean, it's like, it's complicated. Like, what does that mean? So I read it in the Hebrew, and it breaks it down to where it's no steal. Like that's what you would try to tell somebody of a foreign language who is trying to take your stuff, right? You'd be like, do not steal, and they'd be taking it, and you'd be like, no steal. And so here, it's like God's saying, okay, if you're not getting it in English, I'm gonna break it down in the Hebrew, no steal. No steal, put it back, all right? And so I'm reading this, I'm like, man, like that really clears some things up for me. Like I really have a greater understanding of the eighth commandment. No steal. It was great, clear as a bell. So what does it mean to steal? Okay, you've got to know that. If you're not going to do it, you got to know what it is. But to not steal, it means the same thing in the Hebrew that it means in the English. It means to steal is to take the property of others without permission or right. You have not been granted permission. It's not stealing if I say, can I borrow your lawnmower? And you say yes. That's not stealing. I've been granted permission. Okay? God supports the right to personal property. Now listen, you can tweet this if you want. God is not a communist. He's not. He's not a communist. Okay? And people will look at things like Acts chapter 2. And Acts chapter 2 is great. It's an amazing chapter. But there's this verse in verse 44 and 45 says this. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. Okay, now I'm going to tell you there's a big difference between the early church and communism. If you didn't already know, there's a really big difference here. In the early church, okay, genuine, real believers, okay, out of their own goodwill, giving to one another who had need, okay? Now they're doing this, and we don't know the extent of it all. It doesn't give us all the details. I'm guessing there's probably some prerequisites to this, because, I mean, imagine if I tell you, Natasha, you have to give your donkey to Marissa, who is spending all her money on wine and gambling over casting lots. Would you want to give her your donkey? You'd be like, no, why would I give her my donkey? This isn't what, like, everybody just piled things in the middle and it was like, take whatever you want. That's not what it was. That's communism. Well, communism is the one guy in the middle handing out to whoever he wants. But the point is, there had to be some kind of prerequisites. There had to be some kind of rules, some kind of standards in doing this. We don't know those things. They had to use practical wisdom combined with a spirit-filled heart. They decided who to give what to, how much. They were going for a common goal, living for Jesus. And if my brother or my sister needs this or that, I'm going to help them. They decided who got what and when. Now, in communism, again, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're a hard worker or if you're lazy. It doesn't matter if you're generous or stingy. It doesn't matter if you are full of love or full of hate. It's pile all your stuff in the middle, and I get to decide who gets what, right? That's not the same thing as what we saw in Acts chapter 2. Our God is for private property, okay? He is for it. You can read through the Old Testament. There were very strong penalties for stealing. We see, like, sometimes it's twofold. You got to pay back double what you've taken. There's time where restitution was required. We see times where it was even four or five times what was taken is what you had to repay, depending on the circumstances. And imagine what effect that could have on our society today. If every time you stole something, you had to pay back two, four, five times what you stole. I mean, I really would think twice about sticking that Snickers in my pocket if I had to give them five back, right? I mean, that'd be heartbreaking. Imagine going to your cupboard of stolen Snickers, and you're like, I got to take five of these out and give them back to the Dollar General, right? That would be heartbreaking. Nobody would want to do that. Do not steal. No steal. Okay, that's what God says. No steal, TJ. No, don't do it. The first commandment can be, this commandment, the eighth commandment, can actually be broken several ways. And I'm going to look at some of those. They actually have quite a few. I'm going to share a lot of scripture. So if I go too fast, you can get online and download the notes if you'd like to. But the first one is you can break this commandment, no steal, by what you take. By what you take. Okay? This is theft. This is theft at its most obvious basic form, taking other people's possessions, which I've referenced a couple times already. Now, this can be severe, right? You can steal someone's car. You can steal someone's identity online and drain their bank account. That's pretty severe, right? You can do some pretty severe things. You could rob a bank. All these things are no steal. Don't do them, okay? You could do less severe things, okay? Hopefully I do hit a couple sore spots here, because maybe God's telling you today, no steal. If you work at, like, the repair shop and you take home a quart of oil, right? You're like, oh, well, they got plenty, and I need a quart of oil at home. Or you go to the hotel, and you're like, I like these towels. I'm going to stick them in my bag. You paid for the room, buddy. You didn't pay for towels. I mean, if you want towels, go down there and be like, can I buy these towels? But they're not included. The use of them is included in the price of the room, not taking them home. What about things like using work resources for your own personal things, or work time for your own personal things? And I know in some situations that can be accepted, but we see all these different types of things. Glasses from a restaurant. I remember doing that when I was younger. Be like, this is an awesome mug. Like, I've got to have this. It's like you pay your bill and you just walk out drinking your cola out of the frosted mug or whatever it was. When it comes to legal consequences, there might be major and minor thefts. But I'm going to tell you, with a perfect, holy God, there is not major and minor theft. Just like there's not major and minor lies, right? The whole white lie thing. There are no white lies. A lie is a lie. You call something white doesn't make it better. This is just a white theft, right? It's just a little white theft, you know? I just stole a ream of paper, you know? Literally, white paper. It's okay. Thank you for laughing at that. This is the easy one, okay? This is easy to just not do. No steal. Don't take stuff that's not yours. Unless you're a kleptomaniac, okay? That's people that can't help stealing. They have a disorder. And then you might need to get some professional help, okay? If you're a klepto, that's understandable. Don't take stuff that's not yours. When it comes to work, here's a tip for you, okay? Because there's some gray area there at work sometimes. Would your boss approve of what you're doing? That'd be a good way to tell if me doing my personal things on the clock is acceptable. Would my boss be okay with what I'm doing? Now, I'm going to tell you that if he's not okay with it, if the answer to that is no, you should stop. Okay? If you're not sure, it's really easy. You should just ask him. Okay? If he says no, you stop. I'm going to tell you what, if you are too nervous to ask him, it's because you know the answer. It's because you shouldn't do it, and you should stop. I mean, it's really easy. It's really simple. But there's other ways that you can break this commandment besides taking physical things. Okay? You can break the command, no steal, by some of the things that you do. Okay? One of those things is employers not treating employees right, paying unfairly. James 5:4, we see that. We just looked at this a few months ago. Look, the pay that you have withheld from the workers who reaped your fields cries out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. If you're a business owner, if you're a manager, pay your people right. Pay them well. Treat them right. If you don't, you're stealing from them. Like, that's just the way it is. You're stealing from them. And the entire church busts out into Matt Mars. And all the people said amen. What? Whoa! Thank you, Sherry. Man, you guys are a cold crowd today. Or I'm not a good joke teller. That's probably what it is. But all the people would say amen. But before you get too excited, I want to look at another way that you can steal. You can steal by not giving a good day's work for that pay. You can steal by doing that. Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. You should do everything. Say that word, everything. Everything you should do, that would include work. Okay, work is included in everything, unfortunately, for some people, maybe. Work hard. You should do everything for the Lord. Work hard. Submit to your authority. Earn your pay. If you don't, you're stealing. That's true. You're stealing. They don't owe it to you if you're not doing the work to earn it. Right? If you get paid an hourly wage, and they pay you for 8 hours to work, and for 2 hours of that, you're on Facebook. Listen, they should only pay you 6 hours. I'm just being real. Unless your boss says, sure, waste time on Facebook. If they're okay with it, then that's one thing. But if they're not, really, you should only get paid for 6 hours. Because it's not just, well, this is my right. I work here. I put in 40 hours a week. No, put in 40 hours a week. Do you actually work 40 hours a week? I'm just saying you should work as though you're working for the Lord. I tell people all the time, when I clean in this church, I clean it better than I do over at the house. I do it better. But when I do it at home, I do it as though I'm doing it for the Lord as well. It's just when I'm here, I'm like, other people see this stuff. Like, I'll pull out furniture at home. I'll be like, we'll get that next time. But everything we do, we should be doing to that level. Like, when I clean here, I should be doing that at home. I should be like, you know what? Everything I do, I'm doing for the Lord. I'm going to give it my best, give it my all. Another way you can break this commandment, no steal, by doing people wrong. Just customers or people you buy from. Proverbs 10:2 says, ill-gotten gains do not profit anyone, but righteousness rescues from death. This could be a business ripping people off. I'll go through a scenario here. You pull into the garage, to the shop, right, with your car. You need an oil change. And what does the guy do? He comes out and he's like, man, Lena, I hate to tell you this, but you also need an air filter and spark plugs. And I noticed your windshield wipers are pretty cracked. And you know what? The tires, they're wearing unevenly, so they're probably not worth rotating. I'd go ahead and get new ones. You also should consider, like, at some point this engine's going to go out, and I would consider replacing it. And I can do all that for you here today if you'd like. Right? We can get that all knocked out. I can get some figures for you, and we can do that today. Listen, if that's not all true, that's stealing. Like, you are stealing from the customer by telling them that they need things that they don't actually need. Now, there are honest salesmen. Praise the Lord for those honest salesmen. But the same can be said on the customer's end. How many of you have ever gotten too much money back? How many of you gave that money back, went in and told them the difference? Okay, many people will not. Many people will not do that. They won't go in and be like, you know what? I got too much back. How many of you have ever forgotten, like, the potatoes on the bottom of the cart? Right? And you go get all the way out to the car and you're like, I forgot about those potatoes or that thing of water. Right? I'll tell you what, the right thing to do is go back in and be like, hey, man, I forgot. I got this $4 thing of water on the bottom. Can you ring this up? But a lot of people will not do that. Now, I want to tell you, that is not blessing. Right? If the cashier gives you back, if you give her a 10 and she gives you back a 20, that is not God's blessing. Excuse my language, but that is a stupid cashier. And I say that in the nicest, it's someone who doesn't know how to make change. Okay? They're ignorant cashier. But it's not God's blessing. It's not God's favor on your life that I'm going to let this person get in trouble, maybe lose their job, to give you 10 bucks, right? It's not God's blessing that you get the free case of water. It's not a free case of water. You stole it, right? Don't confuse things like that with God's blessing. But there are people who do that, okay? I'm just saying, if that's you, no steal. Don't do it. Take it back in. Give the right change. You can also break this command, no steal, by gossiping and slandering. Gossiping and slandering. Proverbs 25:18. A man giving false testimony against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, a sharp arrow. See, when you speak things against other people, you tear them down, beat them down. Listen, I don't care if they deserve what they have coming or not. I don't care if they really did it. This can be stealing, because I'm going to tell you what. There's always pieces that are missing here. For one, even if it was something done directly to you, you don't know the whole story, right? You don't know what the person is going through in their life. You don't know what they were thinking. You don't know what their intentions were. And quite frankly, you were probably 50% of the problem in most cases, okay? But when we start spreading this stuff to others, we start just spreading it around like, you know what? You never believe what this person did. And you tell this person and that person, listen, This can be stealing because you could be stealing someone's good reputation and their good name. Stealing it. It's you stealing it because I guarantee they didn't give you permission to go around. Here, yeah, sure, man, go and trash my name. That'd be awesome. Like, that'd be great if you could go trash my name all throughout the community. Like, that'd be great. Have at it. No, they didn't give you permission. You're stealing their good name, stealing their reputation. Be careful what you say about others. And knowing the situation and what's happened, you could paint them as a bum or a loser when it might not be the case. And even if it is, it's not your place. Right? It's not your place. Don't be a thief. One more thing you can do here is, I got a couple more. That was not true. There's more than one thing, all right? Another thing you can do to break this command, no steal, is you can steal people's time. You can steal people's time. Ephesians 5:15-17, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Okay, you should be making the most of your time. On this earth, we are in evil days, last days. Don't be wasting it. Don't be foolish. So let me ask you a question, Ashton. If you're not supposed to be wasting your own time, are you supposed to be wasting someone else's time? No. Right? If you're not supposed to be foolish with your own time, if you're supposed to be making the most of it, you should also be trying to make the most of other people's time. I'm going to tell you what, everybody gets the same 24 hours. Everybody. Now, you can set aside how many hours you work and how many hours you sleep, all these things. I'm not talking about what you do with the time. I'm saying everybody gets the same 24 hours to make an impact on this earth every single day. Every one of us. It's you that chooses how to use those hours. And I'm going to tell you, don't waste people's time. Don't waste people's time. Don't be intentionally making people wait on you like, whatever, I'll get to it whenever I get to it. This is stealing. You're stealing their time if you're wasting it or causing them to wait on you. And I'll tell you what, this is what I do. And some of you have heard this before from me. If you want to meet with me, and you want some advice or you want some help with something, I have one rule. Do not lie to me. Don't lie to me. And this is why. Because if you do, you're wasting my time. You're wasting my time and you're wasting your time, and this is worthless to me. Like, as much, if no matter how much I like you on a personal level, if you're in my office and you're lying to me, but you're asking me for help, it's a total waste of my time. And you have stolen 30 minutes or an hour of my time that is wasted and I will never get it back, and neither will you, and you didn't get any help, right? We should not be stealing people's time, wasting people's time. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. Make the most of other people's time because the days are evil. Another thing you can do to break this command, no steal, is you can take someone's innocence. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. But whoever causes the downfall of one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be cast into the sea. Man, Jesus said this, and I'm going to tell you, he's not talking about actual little children. He's not talking about actual little children. What he's talking about is the children of God. He's talking about true believers who've humbled themselves as little children. Do not cause their downfall by exposing them to something or talking them into doing or saying something that they shouldn't. Look, people think this stuff is funny. And there was a point in my life where I thought things like this were funny. I've shared this before. I used to try to pay Channing to say cuss words. Like in my 20s. Like not as like a kid, like my early 20s. I would try to pay her. Me and my brother would be like, come on, just do it. Just say this one word. Right? When I, at one of my previous jobs, there was a guy there that, you know, his attitude changed because he was working around me, and not in a good way, in a bad way. And his wife's kind of like, you got to get away from that guy, me. Get away from me, because I was causing him to have a bad attitude about everything. Right? I was causing him to stumble. I was trying to get my sister to do it. I was trying to cause people to stumble because I thought it was funny. Again, this was before I was saved, and I realize now it's not funny at all. Like, that is stealing someone's innocence. That is stealing someone's, again, could be their reputation, their character, or whatever. The word says, Jesus said, it'd be better if a large boulder were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the lake. Thank God that we don't do that today. Lake Nellie would probably be full. You guys look out your window, you just see bodies. Boulders and bodies laying out there. There'd be no water, right? Don't steal people's innocence. Don't try to get people to do things that they shouldn't do. Last category here is you can steal by what you keep. How about this? You can steal by the things that you keep. Now, both of these might rub people the wrong way. This first one is taxes owed to the government. Taxes, bad word. I shouldn't have said that in church, right? Everybody hates taxes. Romans 13:7, pay your obligations to everyone, taxes to those you owe taxes, tolls to those you owe tolls. Don't go to Chicago. It's terrible. You'll owe a lot of tolls. Respect those who owe you respect. Or respect those that you owe respect. Honor those who you owe honor. Listen, again, nobody likes taxes. Nobody likes taxes at all. And listen, you can do things on your tax form. You can claim things to lower your tax bill. Listen, that's a right that you have in the system that's set up. It is perfectly okay, perfectly permissible for you to get the absolute smallest taxable number that you can possibly get, right? That's okay if you're doing it within the system. Now, if you're lying and you're cheating, you're using a crooked tax guy, right? You're manipulating the system in order to get a bigger return. You are breaking the command, no steal. All right? That is our law, is that you owe that to the government. And Jesus reiterated multiple times that, hey, you pay taxes to who the taxes are due. You pay to Caesar to who Caesar is due, right? It doesn't matter that you worked hard for that money. I know you did. I do too. I still have to pay taxes. You owe it. It's the law. If you don't pay it, you're being a thief. That's truth, okay? Again, get the tax bill as small as you can. That's great if you're doing it legally. If you're lying or cheating, you're stealing. This last one is you can break it by what you keep, by keeping money that is owed to the Lord. Malachi 3, verse 8 through 12. Will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? You ask, how do we rob you? By not making payments of the tenth of the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse, so there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. That'd be great if he just stopped right there. And then he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your land and the vine of your field, and will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now listen, I don't know who gives what around here. Somebody asked me recently, and I'm like, I really don't know. Like, I don't know if you give or don't give, how much. It's not really any of my business, because it's not between me and you. It's between you and the Lord. But I want to say that I know that I tithe without fail. And this has nothing to do with me being a pastor. It's because I believe in this principle right here. I believe in the principle of sowing what you reap. And I also believe in the fact that I am not an owner of my money, but I am a steward of God's money. I'm not an owner of my possessions, but I'm a steward of God's possessions. And so I'm just going to, again, if this rubs anybody wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say, I don't know, and maybe you are the exception, but I don't know many people that tithe faithfully that struggle financially consistently. Now, are there times of ups and downs? Absolutely. This is the world we live in. I'm saying I don't know anybody that tithes faithfully that struggles consistently all through their life. Now, again, maybe you do, and if you do, I mean, listen, I'm not a financial guru, but I'm pretty good with it enough that I can help look at your finances and bills, help create a budget and a plan. But I'm going to tell you that if that is you, if you tithe faithfully and you struggle consistently, I'm going to tell you that it's not from a lack of God's provision. It's not from a lack of God's provision. It's not from a lack of God's blessing, because I really, in all my heart, I believe that God gives us all that we need and then some. Because that's the kind of God that I serve. He gives us all that we need and then some. Okay? It's up to us to manage it properly. It's up to us to be good stewards. It's our responsibility to sow into the work of God through his church. And I have news for you, okay? We say things like, God doesn't need your money. And I also believe that to be true. I'm going to tell you that today, right now, God could run these lights miraculously. Right? I mean, we don't pay the light bill. It's shut down. God could, my God, he could run these lights miraculously. No doubt in my mind. He could open the valve to the water and let the water flow, even though we haven't paid a water bill. Right? He could put food on my table if you weren't paying me. Okay? Miraculously. I believe he could just wake up in the morning and there's a bowl of bananas. That's the kind of God that I serve, and that's the kind of God that you read about in the Old Testament, right? He did that. He dropped manna from heaven. You know, I might start complaining and be like, dude, can I get some eggs and bacon, right? Kind of like they were. But I'm just saying that my God can do those things. He can miraculously provide all those things, but he doesn't, because he uses you and me for the church, for these functions. He uses you and me. That's the way that it works. That's why we talk about faithfully giving. But also Luke chapter 16, verse 10, whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. Whoever is in unrighteousness is very little is also unrighteous in much. I don't know what that verse says. I should not have used the Holman Christian Standard Bible for that one. If you're faithful with little, you'll be trusted with much more. If you're faithful with little, you will be trusted with much more. I believe in this because I believe in what you reap is what you sow. And also Psalm 24:1 tells us the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to who? The Lord. They belong to the Lord. Listen, it may be wise to give to the Lord what is rightfully his, because your reward will be much, much greater. But I want to say this also does not apply to just finances. It does apply to our time. It does apply to our talents, our gifts and our talents. Something that me and Christy have been talking about lately and with the strategy team is like, we need to figure out how do we get people to use their God-given gifts properly, right? There's a lot of you serve in a lot of areas, and you know what? I believe it's necessary in the church for people to serve in areas that they're not gifted in, right? I believe that because not everybody is serving in the areas that they are gifted in. But what if we could get everyone to serve in the areas that God has truly deposited in you, like this is your gifting? And if everybody actually truly did those things. Man, that's part of stealing. That's no steal, right? When you are not using the gifts that God has given you for his purposes, for his church, for his glory. When you're not giving God your time, that is stealing. Ephesians 4:28, I'm getting close here. The thief must no longer steal. That's it. No steal. No longer. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. So no steal. But on top of that, do honest work. And then you share with people that are in need. See, we are required to pursue a life of integrity. We're required to pursue a life of having a giving heart, a giving spirit. I'm going to tell you, people steal because they think that they don't have enough. They think they don't have enough, or they don't have something that they should have, right? The air quotes for those listening online. They should have. I should have that. That should be mine. So I'm going to take it. They want what they have not earned. You can steal by taking things that are not yours. You can steal by the things that you do, and you can steal by the things that you keep. And isn't it amazing how hard some people will work at being dishonest, at taking from others? See, a taker has the heart of the enemy at work in him. A taker has the heart of the enemy at him, the enemy who steals people's joy, the enemy who steals people's innocence, the enemy who steals confidence, the enemy who steals purity, clarity, effectiveness, focus. And if you let him, will steal your life. That's the heart of a taker. I'm going to tell you what God desires is that we have the heart of God, and that is a giver. We have the heart of a God who restores joy, a God who can restore innocence, a God who can restore confidence, and yes, he can restore purity, a God who can restore clarity, effectiveness, focus, and a God who can give us newness of life. See, Jesus was a giver, right? Anybody dispute that? Jesus was a giver. A giver to the point that he gave his own life on the cross for you and for me to cover our breaking of no steal, to help set us free from that. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things that you can't steal in life. You cannot steal forgiveness. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't take it. You can't just go and steal forgiveness, and you can't steal salvation. Those are only gifts that were purchased for you free of charge on the cross and offered to you. No charge. Come and take it. It's with permission. See, remember, stealing is when you take something that belongs to someone else without permission. But what Christ offers us is he offers us forgiveness and salvation. And he says, you know what? This did not belong to you, but today it does. Because today, I have purchased this and I say, it is yours. You have permission. Come and take it. Come and get it. Right now. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what you've been stealing, who you've been stealing from, in any of the areas that we talked about today. But I'll tell you what, I do know a God who can bring hope to your situation. I do know a God who can bring change. I do know a God who can heal. I do know a God that can set free. Listen, when we talk about set free, I mean, I don't care if you've struggled in one of these areas for your whole life. I don't care if you've been to the altar 20 times, if you've prayed about it every day of your life in your closet. I know a God who can set the captives free. I know a God who can remove those things from our life. And what he says is what we were singing earlier. When I called your name, did your heart yearn for me? That's what he's asking. Because he says, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm willing. Come to me. Come to me. So today, this is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that today you commit to being a giver. A giver of your life to the one true living God. If you would stand with me. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about our God. Man, our God is the creator of all things. The creator of the heavens and the earth. Man, our God loves you more than you can even comprehend. Listen, your understanding of God's love is so small. So small compared to what it really is. He wants and desires nothing but good for you. Nothing but good for you. Listen, God is not like people. He has no desire for you to fail, ever. Does he want you to learn things from your failures? Yes, but he desires for you to succeed. But he knows that that success is only found in him. It's not found in the things that we do. It's not found in the things of the world. And I also know today that the enemy maybe has stolen some things from you. But I'm telling you that today Jesus can restore. We're going to open up the altars for a time of prayer here. And this is what I want. I want you to come. I want you to come to these altars with an expectancy that God can do whatever need that you have in your life. He can meet it. Listen, it's not about me or anyone else that might be praying. This is about an almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who is the giver of the very life that you have, the very breath that you breathe. And don't think for a moment that he can't meet your need right here, right now, today. So if that's you, I want you to begin to come forward. Begin to come forward and line up at the altars. And whatever your need is, I want you to express it to the Lord. You don't have to scream it. You don't have to shout it. But if you want to, you can. Because I believe that he's here and he's willing and he's ready to bring healing, restoration, and forgiveness today. And we are going to worship him today, as Sherry shared earlier, in spirit and in truth. We are going to lift his name on high because he is worthy. He is worthy. Natasha, would you mind praying for ladies today? If you want to come down and receive prayer, Natasha and I will be available. Don't let this opportunity that you have today go to waste. If you would bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are greater, that you are stronger than any force of hell. You are stronger than any circumstance or any situation on this earth. You are great. You are good. You alone are good. And it is you that we desire in this place. We ask you to have your way with us. We pray right now, not for the conviction of man, not for the condemnation of the devil, but for the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and invade our hearts, that you would draw us close to you, that you would show us how to be more like Christ. Lead us to him this evening or this morning. Lord, we give it all to you right now and say, have your way with us as we worship you, as we lift you up. Let your people come. Let freedom take place. We ask for signs and wonders and miracles and for the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ to happen in this place today, that chains will be broken. Lord, that bondage will be cast out. Lord, we ask for lives to be healed today. In Jesus' name, let's praise his name this morning.